Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Our guest today is Shiloh Christian and Springdale, Arkansas head coach Jeff Conaway. Coach Conaway helped guide Shiloh Christian to a state title in the mid-2000s and in 2014 returned to the program as the head coach. Coach discusses the virtues of being a continuous learner, his off-season platoon system, and why players don't have bad practices coaches do. He also breaks down his package play concept, which helped Shiloh Christian win 11 games and earn a berth in the Arkansas Class 4A semifinals. Coach Conaway, welcome to the Coaching Coordinator Show.
Thank you very much, Keith. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning.
Coach, let's go back to the beginning and the why for you. What was it that made you want to be a football coach?
Well, I think it was a combination of two things. The first was just the reality that I wasn't going to effectively complete my attempt to be a pharmacist. Some of those classes were very difficult, and I knew that I had to choose a different path. But the real reason was I had some very inspiring coaches throughout my playing career that were there for me and set just a great example, and I wanted to be able to do the same. I knew I wanted to continue to be around the game of football, and I knew I wanted to continue to be involved in the lives of young people, and so coaching was that avenue for me.
Where were you able to get your start in coaching?
I began my coaching career, if you will, at Ouachita Baptist University in Arkadelphia, Arkansas. I went to school there and played football there. And when my time was finished as a player, the coaching staff allowed me to become a student assistant. And I worked with QBs and running backs and receivers. And really, that was my start. That's when I knew I was anxious and I had a desire to coach football.
We learn a lot in those first opportunities. What were you able to learn in your first coaching jobs?
I think the thing that I learned from that first coaching opportunity was that I had to be a continuous learner. I knew that I had a whole lot of football and a whole lot of things to learn to be good at it, but I learned quickly that was not going to be enough. I knew that I was going to have to continue learning because the game's changing and kids are changing and society is changing. And in order to be effective and be effective over a long span of time, I knew that I was going to have to be a continuous learner and that learning process was never going to stop. And so I'm grateful for guys like you that are making these resources available for coaches that want to continue learning and want to become more and more effective in the jobs that we do.
Coach, in your 14 years since you've started, what do you recognize as some key points in your development as a coach?
I think, the X's and O's, they come and go, but I think some of the things that have really helped me as a coach is just the program management, the managing people and parents and administrators and just the way we organize and structure our organization. And I've had the privilege to learn from guys like Rick Jones at Greenwood and Todd Dodge and Barry Lunny, even Gus Malzahn, Hugh Freeze are some of those that I have been fortunate to be around. And just the way that they lead, the way they do just the top-down organization is really just genius the way that they do it. And they do it with great character, great integrity, and they do it the right way. And so I feel like I've learned a lot from those guys, and I try to imitate the way they lead a program. And obviously they've been very successful, and I hope that we can continue to be successful.
So those men obviously had a great impact on your coaching philosophy. What things now have you taken in moving forward with where you're at right now? What's become a part of your philosophy, and what are the main points of it?
Philosophy in general or specifically?
Well, your coaching philosophy. We'll get into your offensive stuff a little bit later.
Okay. Yeah. I think the greatest impact on my philosophy is, how do you structure your organization? How are you going to coach your kids every day? How are you going to coach your coaches? What's the communication going to be like with your parents? Because at the high school level, that is critical. We do need parents to be supporters and involved with what we're trying to accomplish. We tell our parents and our players that there's going to be a partnership between the coaches and your parents in order to get you to become the best that you can become. And so I've really learned from those guys how to use everything around you in a positive way in order to get the most out of our players. And when we get the most out of our players, obviously we get the most out of our teams, and our teams are successful. And so I think from learning from those guys, they did a wonderful job of incorporating that type of philosophy, that this is going to be a family. We're going to spend a lot of time together, so we might as well love each other. We might as well partner with your parents. And again, it goes back to, we want the absolute best for the athlete.
Coach, as you take your experiences and they've developed into some strength, some expertise in your coaching areas, what would you say those are?
Well, I think some of my strengths would, one of them would be just the overall structure of our program. We're very organized, and I have some great coaches that really buy into that and really assist me in being organized. And again, if you can be extremely organized, you're so much more effective with your players, with your coaches, with your parents, with your practice schedules, what you do in the off season. And I feel like our 365-day calendar and the intentionality that we place in that calendar helps us to be successful. I think the way that our coaches coach, I think the way that the way that we hold our players accountable, but we also build strong relationships with them on and off the field, I think really sets us apart. And just the way we incorporate our families, the way we incorporate our parents with our father-son retreats and our mom's date nights. And we really do make it a family environment where everyone feels like they belong and everyone feels like they're bringing value to the insides of our organization. And I really think that those are some things that we do that might be a little bit different, but that we really enjoy, our parents enjoy it, and our players enjoy it. I do believe that that aids to the overall health of our football program.
Extending that a little further, you mentioned a few of those things you do in there to build culture. What other types of things do you do to build culture within your team?
Well, when we begin in January with our off season, we really strive to teach our kids that they are to achieve excellence in everything that they do. And we want them to become champions. And our philosophy or our mission statement inside our football team is becoming or building champions spiritually, academically, and athletically. And we really hit on each of those areas of their lives and push them, encourage them to become champions in all three of those areas. And because we are striving to be excellent in each of those areas, the standard is, and spiritually, we're going to talk a lot about their relationship with the Lord. We're going to talk about how to develop that prayer life and how to walk with the Lord and really disciple our players. Academically, we're going to do the same things. We're going to require that they sit in the front of the class and listen with their eyes, and we do grade checks every 2 weeks. And so they know that there's a standard of excellence with their academic performance and also their behavior in the classroom. And then athletically, we're going to establish that standard of excellence with our off-season program. We have a strength and conditioning coach that does an excellent job with them in the weight room, with their speed development, with their flexibility, and then even with their nutrition. We have a nutrition bar, and our guys are challenged, and we pretty much make them eat the right amount of food, and we give them strict guidelines. And so I believe our players understand that there is a level of excellence in everything that they do. And if they want to become the best that they can become, they will follow right in line, and they will seek to be excellent in all of those areas as well.
So, Coach, you do a great job of bringing that all together, getting the intangibles and getting those guys really to buy into what you're doing, because you've established that within their lives that they're going to be excellent. It's time to take it out onto the field. How does that translate into what you're doing on the field? I know you're an expert on the offensive side of the ball, so let's start with your philosophy there. What's your philosophy of offense?
Our philosophy is we want to take what the defense gives us, and that, you know, it's easy to say that. That's kind of cliche, but we want to be a very balanced football team. We want to be able to run the football. We want to be able to throw the football. I think what we do that gives us maybe an advantage is the way that we train, the way that we throw and catch year round. I really believe that helps us. You can't always play real football year round, but you can throw and catch year round. And that's something that we take advantage of. And so we want to be extremely balanced. We typically say that we're a spread offense. Our philosophy is we do want to spread the field horizontally and vertically. We do want to put our playmakers in space, but we also want to have a real tough physical edge at every position. We want to be able to run the football when we have to run the football. And so at the high school level, your personnel is always changing. And so for me to put our philosophy in kind of a box, it's difficult to do. One year we may have a QB that can really sling it. Another year we may not have a QB that can throw it extremely well, but he may be able to run it. So you will see that over the years our offense has gone back and forth, and all of that is predicated on, you know, our personnel. But we do. We say that we're a spread, but we're very multiple. We will get into some two-back and even three-back. You know, we will use a tight end. We do a lot of things that maybe your typical one-back spread teams don't do, but we like to be very multiple.
What types of things then, you know, with that kind of flexibility in your offense, what types of things provided the consistency from year to year? So, for example, you don't want your seniors to go back to being like their freshmen because you're installing a new offense, and I'm sure you're not doing this. What is it, though, that gives you that consistency to be able to, I guess, move along that continuum of offense where, hey, we're going to be a tough, physical, pound it down your throat type of team versus, hey, we got this really talented guy who could throw it everywhere, and we're going to take advantage of that a little bit more?
I think what we do that is the same year in and year out is we're going to run power. Yeah, we're going to block down. We're going to kick out. We're going to wrap for the mic. And that's a very physical, a very good downhill football play for us. And that's the first thing that we teach. We pair that obviously with counter. And then our inside zone this year was one of those schemes that, you know, we felt, again, we were really good at with our personnel. And so inside zone became that core run, that staple run for us this year. And so we're always going to begin with that. We're going to begin up front. We're going to make sure everybody from center to receivers are physical and are blocking. And so that's where we start. And with power, with counter, with inside zone, we run buck sweep, some outside zone. That's where we're going to begin the focal point of our offense. Our players, our QBs and receivers and running backs, they know we're going to throw and catch. They're going to get their dose of that starting in January, and it's going to go all the way through the winter, spring, and then in the summer we're going to play a lot of 7-on-7. We're going to travel. We're going to host our own 7-on-7. So they know how to throw and catch, and that's what they, you know, that's what they love to do. But as coaches, our focus and really where we're really going to hammer our players is we're going to be physical. We're going to block. We're going to run the football. And so just balancing that, I think, gives us a great edge. And, you know, over the last 3 years, we've been very balanced. We have been able to do both in most games. And so teaching them that throwing and catching is a given here at Shiloh, and then pairing that with we are going to run the football and we are going to be physical, we are going to have a hard edge at every position, I think is something that helps our offense be successful over the long haul.
when you think of those types of plays, your go-to plays, you know, your inside zone, the play you're going to hang your hat on, or the power play, whatever it might be in a particular year or particular week, what's the formula for you as far as how many times that play needs to be repped to get the execution you need on game day?
Well, I don't know that we have a special formula, but you know, as a coach yourself, you don't want to work a scheme, you don't want to run a concept until you get it right. You want to practice it until you can't get it wrong. And I think that's where we are as coaches. When we're comfortable, it's when we've given our offense every look possible, every blitz possible, every stunt or twist. We've given them everything that we think that opponent may do, and we've been able to effectively, as an offensive unit, execute the play. And so I don't know if there's a set number of reps, but we're going to do our very best starting on Saturday, teaching how we're going to attack this defense and how this particular play or concept will work if the defense does this. And it goes back to our philosophy. We want to take what the defense gives us. We don't want the defense to dictate what we do. We want to be able to call plays that have answers, and we want to be able to call plays that have real solutions. If the defense does this, if the defense does that, what is our slight adjustment in which we can still run the play, although we may have to adjust, we may have to tweak it slightly in order to most effectively attack that defense.
So starting on Saturday and continuing through the week, teaching becomes very important to get that execution. What would you say are some of the best things you and your coaches are doing to get the understanding you need for that execution to take place?
The best things that we do are the film review and the film sessions, not only on our opponent, but the film review that we do from practice. And our coaches are phenomenal at this. Our offensive line watches more film probably. Well, there's no doubt they watch more film than probably most college teams, just because we don't have that time barrier. We don't have that restraint. And so they're getting up early in the morning and they're watching film with their O-line coach. They're coming in for 45 minutes to an hour at lunch. And then after football practice, we're bringing them back in and they're watching inside and they're watching team. And so I think that's what we do that really helps us is our guys up front, our offensive linemen, they're really smart, and it's because they're so well prepared. They've seen it on film. They've walked through it. They've practiced it. And we take this, you know, philosophy of we want to be able to show them. We want to be able to teach them. We want to be able to rebuke them and correct them, and then rep the play as much as we possibly can. So I think that part of our preparation really sets us apart.
Coach, let's talk through that go-to play a little bit. I know we're on audio, but we'll throw a diagram up for our listeners on our show notes. What is that play, starting with, you know, your personnel formation and the main coaching points?
Well, I think that go-to play is going to be what we would call a package play, and it's you know, everybody seems to be doing it now, but we want to call plays that have great answers and not put our offense in a situation where they can't effectively get positive yards and an explosive, whether it's an explosive run, and we define that by 8-plus yards, or an explosive pass, and we define that by 18-plus yards. Our QBs have to be extremely intelligent, but again, through film and through practice and reps and things like that, it's not difficult. But we want to give him answers, and so we would typically be in a trip set, and we would have three options in that trip set. And our first option is our perimeter to the three receiver side. We typically like to go into the boundary with this. And if by his first to the single side is his real first key, and by his key, if he can throw the 5-yard hitch and get 5-plus yards, we tell him, take the snap, throw the hitch. If he sees that by coverage and alignment and numbers that he cannot effectively throw the hitch and get 5 positive yards, then he's going to check the perimeter. And then again, it's the same mindset. He's checking for leverage. He's checking for coverage in any type of alignment. He's checking for numbers to the boundary. If he can take the snap and throw the perimeter screen to the boundary, to the three receiver side, and we can get 5+ yards, he's supposed to take it. If he can't do either of those two, it's inside zone. It's zone read for him. And so in the way that we would call that a go-to play, the reason that we would call that a go-to play is because we feel like we have stretched the field. We've given our quarterback a quick game option. We've given our quarterback a screen option. And we've also given our quarterback a run option. And so, again, it goes back to we want to take what the defense gives us. If they've taken away an option, there's got to be another option built in. And our QBs typically do a pretty good job of this. And, you know, that's kind of how we've constructed about 70 to 80% of our offense is every play has an answer. And we're going to take what the defense gives us.
Those things obviously rely on great decision-making by the quarterback. What types of things do you do to specifically for him, to coach him up to do that?
Well, I think two things that we really feel like we need. We need an intelligent QB. That's something that we have had. It doesn't always happen, but that's something that we have had. We've had a 3-year QB. And so over the last 3 years, we've been able to grow that philosophy. We've been able to do a whole lot more of those package plays where he has a yes-no. If he cancels the yes-no, he has a plan B and then a plan C, if you will. So the first thing is we need an intelligent quarterback. The second thing is we need a lot of time. And we do take a lot of time with our quarterbacks. We start our quarterback schools in January. And we begin in January teaching not only the fundamentals, the mechanics, the QB play that he's going to need, but we also start teaching scheme. We also start teaching how to read a defense and how to get us in and out of effective plays. So smart, intelligent QB is a must. And then also time is a must. If we have a QB that's a multi-sport player, he understands that it's going to be a sacrifice. Our QB also plays basketball. And so in order for him to be effective for us in football, he knew that he was going to have to get up a little bit earlier during basketball season to do some QB training. And that's just part of it. That's just how we operate here at Shallow Christian.
Coach, let's take your offense now and put it in a tough situation. Here's the situation. The ball's on the 30-yard line with time running out. There's 30 seconds, no timeouts. It's 3rd down and 7, and you need a touchdown to win. Your opponent has done a good job of mixing things up in their fronts, coverages, and even mixing in some pressure. What's your call?
You know, the first thing that we would do is freeze the defense. That's a way that obviously we get to at least take a glance, a first look at what the defense is going to do and how they're going to align. But I feel like we would give our QB an opportunity to stretch the field vertically. We do run a lot of 3 and 4 vertical concepts. And so if we had to score, you said we're on the 30-yard line and we have to score on that particular play?
Well, you got 30 seconds, so you got 3rd down and 4th down, I guess, guaranteed for you, and 30 seconds to go, no timeouts.
Yeah, I think we would do another package play for us where we're in a trips formation to the field. Our single has the option route. And again, if we take that single, we call that our yes-no side. If we take the yes on the yes-no side, he knows he's got to get the first. And again, our QB is taught we're not throwing the option route unless we can get the first in that situation. So we would love to take that option, get out of bounds, and have time to run another play. If they eliminate that yes-no option to the single by leverage, alignment, or even personnel, then we're going to check to the field side. And on the field side, we're going to have the ability to stretch the field vertically with a 3 vertical concept. What we do up front is we're going to inside zone to the boundary. We're going to lock the right tackle or the left tackle on the defensive end and really just read the mic. So if the mic run fits, we're going to throw 3 verticals behind him. If the mic turns and runs, we're going to hand it. And again, I know the clock's running down, but high school, they still stop that clock for a first down. And so that would be a 3-and-1 package that, you know, we believe we can take advantage of the yes-no. We believe that we can take advantage of a mic, whether he's run fitting or whether he's pass dropping. And so either of those three options for us, we feel like are pretty effective. Again, going back to the philosophy of we want to take what the defense gives us.
Coach, how do you practice those critical situations?
We script them into our practice plan, and you know, we teach our kids what the situation is, and our QBs probably get tired of hearing me say this, but during those situations, I say, all right, QB, coach everybody up. And so if we're in that one-minute offense and we're about to begin that session of practice, he's going to say, catch the ball, get out of bounds, you can't take a sack, ball security. I mean, so he's going to coach up our team. He's going to talk to them about getting up to the ball fast. He's going to remind them how many timeouts we have, and he's going to remind them to kill, which we're just going to kill the ball. So he's required to tell the offense all five of those or five or six of those components in that 1 minute O. And it, you know, so that's something that we practice. That's something that we put on him. He has to, remind them every time that we are in that situation. And then when we get into the game and we need that 1 minute drill, everyone feels a little bit more comfortable. It doesn't mean that it always works, but he feels more comfortable. The rest of his teammates feel more comfortable. And, you know, obviously we as coaches feel more comfortable because we feel like we have prepared them for that situation. They know what to do. They know how to execute when the clock's running down.
That confidence certainly is important. I really like how you put that on your quarterback, that you make him really take over the leadership in those situations and show the team that he's ready, that he knows what he's doing. And I think just the confidence is gonna help those guys move down the field and being in those situations. Obviously, you have to have poise and composure there. And a way to have it is to have confidence and you know what's happening.
Absolutely. And that goes back to having a three-year quarterback in the system who is a very good leader. He does have that poise. And again, I think when you have that and you've got a leader that is confident, he knows he's been in those situations, it's so much easier for our team to trust him, to follow him, and really just to kind of play a little looser than normal. They don't get too uptight because they've heard the QB be the coach on the field, and it's a whole lot easier and you know, much smoother process when that QB can articulate what he's thinking.
Coach, we're going to move into the next segment here, which is called Lessons in Learning, and we're going to focus on some of the things that you've learned through your career, as well as some things maybe you could pass on to our listeners and help their learning. So here's the first question. What's a mistake you made as a young coach, and what did you learn from it?
One of the biggest mistakes that I learned as an offensive play caller is my terminology was too wordy. And in the style of football that we try to play, we do want to go fast. We don't always go at the fastest tempo, but we do want to have a fast tempo. And, you know, the mistake that I made was the terminology was too wordy. Therefore, the signals were too many signals, and just the time between the play call and the communication to our players just took too long. And so over the last few years, we've worked really hard to change the wordiness and to eliminate anything that we didn't have to say or signal. And I guess the solution to our mistake was we have now created a variety of one-word calls, and those words obviously describe the formation, the motion, the protection, or the run scheme, and the direction. So those one words give our players everything they need to know, and that has obviously helped us increase our tempo and eliminate some of the wordiness and some of the signaling that once took place.
This is of interest to me, Coach, and how terminology has always been an interest in how guys structure their playbooks, how they structure their learning for their players. In creating a one-word system, do you feel you've lost any flexibility in your offense?
It's possible, but the way that we teach those one words, we've got a variety of one word calls. And the way we teach them, I think, gives us a little bit more flexibility. And here's what I mean. When we call a particular play, I'll use Bulldog as an example. We're going to teach that play based on field and boundary. And so we're not really handcuffed to running it one way. Our players know when we call Bulldog, we're going trips to the boundary, and our single is going to line up. He's going to align midway between the top of the numbers and the hash. And so a lot of those one word plays are plays that are package plays. They have anywhere from 2 to 4 options based on the alignment, the personnel, and the leverage of the defense. But they are also, it also depends on where the football is on the field. And so I don't think that we have handcuffed ourselves, if you will. I think we still have a lot of choices. We still have a lot of variety of things that we can do, even though we're only using one word to call those particular plays.
When you begin your teaching, do you still use, I don't want to say the wordier terminology, but do you still use all those descriptive things like formation, motion, play, protection, all those kinds of things?
We do. When we're teaching it, that's what we teach our kids, because that's, obviously that's what they relate to. But a lot of times what we'll do is we'll take that entire concept, and this year our themes were superheroes. And at first I thought that was a little strange. Here we are teaching high school kids, but so many of our high school kids love superheroes. They grew up, watching them and enjoying them. And it was something that they related to. And so we actually let them come up with some of the names, and some of the names have a direct correlation to the actual scheme. And for them to memorize it and learn it, it came really easy to them, and it's something that they kind of enjoyed. What it has done for us is now we combine some of those one words into what we call turbos. And our turbos now are actually 3 plays with 1 name. And so, again, I'm getting off the subject a little bit, but what we've been able to do is, now when we call Iron Man, we've got 1 signal for Iron Man, and Iron Man is a superhero. And so it basically is a turbo, which means it's 3 plays. All 3 of those plays are 3 plays that our guys are very comfortable with, but we have taught it in a way where it's in a specific order, and it depends on where the football is on the field or boundary, and they run those 3 plays. And I think when we first thought of this, we thought there's no way they would memorize it and feel comfortable, and all 11 would be able to do all 3 plays. But when we installed it in the winter and went all the way through winter, spring, summer, and fall, it's second nature to them now. And so now we have a variety of turbos, and if I wanted to call a 9-play drive, I can very easily say, all right, guys, this is what I want. I want us to go Iron Man, Daredevil, and Flash on this series. Now, we don't typically do that, but we could. We could take the possession, and I could call the entire drive with those 3 words, and we could run 9 plays, and our guys would know exactly how to line up and execute all 9 plays without ever looking at the sideline for another signal. And so it's a pretty neat little deal that we've tried to work this year. And I think it's only going to get better and better.
Yeah, that's definitely a great advancement in football, those sequence plays and giving it to the players on the field and allowing them to go out and execute and taking, I guess, the heat off of the play caller, just saying, hey, it's about execution. We don't need to, outthink ourselves. Here's your plays. Like you said, put them out on the field, let them go. I love doing that as well. So I'm sorry, I pulled you off the topics, but that was definitely of interest. Thanks for sharing that. So, Coach, what's the best advice you've received in your career?
The best advice that I have received, I think, is in our preparation. Rick Jones told me once, players don't have bad practices, coaches do. And at first I didn't really understand that, and I still don't understand it completely, but I do understand this. If me as the head coach, if I'm not extremely prepared, and I don't have the plan exactly the way I need it, there are going to be issues throughout practice that I may not handle extremely well. My coaches may not handle extremely well, and my players may not handle extremely well. So I think he was right with his advice in that if we as coaches will prepare, if we as coaches will make sure our players are prepared before we step foot on the grass, our practices are going to improve. If they know the standard of excellence, if they know the expectations, if they know how they're going to take the field and how they're going to operate in drills and how they're going to transition, if they know because we've been on the board or because we've watched film, if they know what their assignments are, the more they know before we step on the field, the more productive our practices are going to be. And sure, there's still going to be mistakes and there's still going to be a lot of correction, but I've really grown to appreciate that quote in that players don't have bad practices, coaches do. If they're having a bad practice, there are things that we must do as coaches to correct it, to fix it, to hold them accountable, and to make sure that what we're trying to get out of practice is accomplished.
That's a good point there, Coach. Coach, what's a book that you'd recommend to our listeners?
You know, I have a bookshelf full of great books, but and you know, I probably should mention a football or a philosophy or a schematic book, but the book Radical really changed my view, if you will, in that I feel like I'm called to coach. I don't feel like it's a job. I feel like it's a calling, and I feel like if every coach saw coaching as their calling, I think they would do it with much more intentionality of the person that they're coaching. And that was something that I knew. It was something that I felt like I was doing a pretty good job. But when I read that book, it really opened my eyes to, you know, what am I doing and why am I doing what I'm doing? And many coaches get burned out. Many coaches leave the profession for this reason or that reason. And it's very difficult. The burdens that we coaches carry can be very difficult. But I felt like the book Radical by David Platt really helped me just see and understand better why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I think that helped me become a better coach. I believe I began to spend more time investing in the relationships of my coaches and of my players and even of the parents and the supporters of our programs. And I think every coach would agree that without those healthy relationships, coaching can be very difficult.
Coach, what's your favorite piece of coaching technology you use to help your players learn?
Well, obviously huddle, and we spend a lot of time on huddle. We spend a lot of time watching film. I have some coaches that are excellent with making playlists, and you know, we do a lot of different things that I didn't even know existed with the huddle program until, you know, some of these coaches that I have on my staff were able to show me. And so huddle's got to be our number one tool that we use. Sky Coach is another one that has been really great to us. Sky Coach is a sideline technology that we, you know, we can watch the play or the series in between series, and it really helps us get instant feedback. Confirmation and corrections are able to occur on the sideline because of Sky Coach. And then Just Play is another one that we have used in the overall learning of our schemes and teaching progression that we use with our players. So I don't consider myself a very technology savvy kind of guy, but those three have really helped us and help us year in and year out.
I don't think all of our listeners are familiar with the Just Play. Explain a little bit about you know, what they do.
Just Play is a program in which you can go in and create your playbooks. Your players can go in and obviously review those playbooks, those assignments, watch video clips of the play, whether it be practice, whether it be game footage, and really kind of connect the dots. If you know, most of them appear to be visual learners, they can go in and see the diagrams and see the actual concepts. They can read through the assignments given to each player, and then they can watch the film cut-ups. And it was just another tool that we were able to use, give our players an opportunity to learn through technology.
Coach, what's something you've taken from a coaching clinic and implemented into what you do?
We've over the years used a platoon system in off season, and got this at a clinic, I believe from Billy Dawson, who just won another state title at Russellville this year. Several coaches in Arkansas do this, and I think each program probably does it a little bit differently, but I think it's really, really good. It's a great quality to have during the off season when, you know, you're not playing football, but you can still create competition. And the platoon groups, we have a draft during off season, and our seniors that we select, our senior captains, if you will draft who they want on their teams. And so we will have anywhere from 7 to 8 teams, and each team has their own t-shirt, they have their own team name, and they're competing every single day. There is a competition. If they will be at practice, if they will be in the right dress code, and if they are standing at attention the proper way, they receive points. So obviously the alternative is if they're not dressed, if they're not there, or if they're not standing at attention, they lose points. And so every day, every player on the team is bringing value to that team. They're earning points for their team. And again, there's so many lessons that can be learned from that. You don't have to be the biggest and the fastest and the strongest to bring value to the football team. But if you're there and you wear the right clothes and you stand at attention, you've done something well. Going even further, they're going to compete in the weight room. Again, our strength coach does an excellent job of training and then also providing an opportunity for them to compete. On Wednesday, we have a special game day, if you will. It's our competition day. And so this is outside of the weight room. It could be in the weight room. It could be on the field. But most of the time, we try to make it fun. And we want our guys to compete. We don't want them to just compete in the fall. We want them to compete all winter long. We want them to feel what it feels to win. We also want them to know what it feels like to lose. And those competitions, although they're fun and enjoyable, they do get very heated. And that's something that we want. We want to begin creating that competitive spirit outside of football season. Each week, whichever team has accumulated the most points for that week, they get a lunch with the head coach, and I will bring them in and feed them, and that we have a good time. We talk and really just share an hour there on a Wednesday where we're just hanging out and we're rewarding those guys. At the end of off season, the winning team, the overall winning team, gets some special gear. They may get a t-shirt and shorts. They may get this or that, but we're trying to reward them for all the hard work that they put in during the off season. But that's one thing that I took from a clinic. We implemented. Our players seem to love it. Our coaches love it. And it just kind of spices up your off season a little bit.
Yeah, I first saw a version of that years ago. I read an article by Jerry Kill, who obviously had a great career in coaching, and he was doing that at Southern Illinois. And it's I've seen a lot of great things adapted into it. Really like some of the things you mentioned there as well. But it is a great concept to really get your team competing in the off season for sure. Coach, moving into this off season, what's something you're excited about learning more in coaching clinics or in your research?
You know, I think the reason that I'm excited is because I don't really know what I'm excited about right now. You know, over the last couple of years, it has been the run pass options, and it's been, taking the read from the first level and going to the second level and the third level defender reads and all of those things. And honestly, this year, I'm not real sure what I'm excited about, other than I know that there's some very intelligent coaches, a whole lot smarter than me, that are doing some really good things. And so this year, I'm gonna try to expand where we go as a staff and what we do, who we visit with, and I'm looking to learn anything and everything that we can possibly learn. So I'm not real sure how to pinpoint that yet. I am excited about what we're able to do during the off season and some of the knowledge that we're able to gain. Is teach the game
coaches,
the right way.
As you look at our game, what are some major concerns you have
at a very,
for
very
the future of
early
it?
Age
maybe what ideas do you have to solve those problems?
One thing that I love about what we do at Shiloh Christian is we have a flag football league for our young boys. and being able to run and come to balance and pull a flag and operate and kind of handle your body with control, I think is a good thing. If there are collisions and things like that, obviously that's not good, and that needs to be taught. That needs to be coached up in those young ages in ways in which they can benefit from learning how to again, use their body in the right way. And then we progress when they get into elementary with helmet and shoulder pad football. And again, we bring those coaches in and we teach them. We take them through a PowerPoint process where we're teaching them how to block the correct way, how to tackle the correct way, what not to do. And I think that's what our game needs the most. We teach them the fundamentals, the way that, you know, the way that we believe they should be taught. And we teach them some of the drills to do in order to really get improvement in those fundamentals. We also teach them the drills not to do. And there's a lot of drills that I see people do that you probably should not do with young kids. Maybe you shouldn't even do with high school kids.
Right.
So I think that's a great solution, is start young, teach the game the way it's supposed to be played. Teach those coaches how not to do some of the things that, you know, that we see them do, and some of the areas that are dangerous. And I think if we all did that, if every program was doing that and doing it effectively, we would have fewer injuries. We would have fewer problems with whether it's youth league football or boys club football or elementary, junior high football. We would see less injuries in those areas. And as a result, I think when they become high school players, we would probably see less injuries. And so I don't necessarily think that the game should change. I think maybe the way we coach and teach the game should change.
Coach, what advice would you give a young coach looking to make it in this profession?
I would say be a sponge. Find those coaches that are doing it the right way and stay by their side and learn as much as you can possibly learn. Again, I was blessed when I became a head coach, and even before I became a head coach, I would call up some of those coaches that I knew were doing it the right way, and I wanted to learn. And some of them even let me come and visit them, and they gave me material. They gave me players' manuals and coaches' manuals and parent manuals, and I was able to take all of that information and, in a way, create it as my own. Take the things that you like, take the things that you can identify with, and make them your own, and then go do your thing. And so if I'm mentoring, or if I'm giving a young guy advice, it's find those coaches that do it the right way. Go learn as much information as you can, and then adapt it to you, because you can't try to be someone that you're not, but you can go learn a lot from those coaches that have experience doing it the right way.
Coach, this next question usually gives some pause and reflection time for the guests of the show, because it's a tough one. With our passion that we have for this game and all the requirements that it takes, you know, getting involved, like you said, with the youth programs, doing all those things we do to build culture, etc., how do you create balance with your health, your family, your faith, your friends, while being able to do all the things you do as a coach?
I think it's being proactive. It's planning ahead. It's having a plan and then walking through that process. And everybody knows that football season is going to be a challenge. It's going to be some very long nights and some very long days. But if you've got that plan in place and you've got the discipline to walk through that plan, it can be done. And it's one of the most difficult things that I have to deal with. I do try to start my day with the Lord, and I do try to start my day in prayer and in scripture. And so with my faith, I want to start it there. I don't always find myself successful in doing that, but it all begins there. And in the days that I do it the right way, I start with my faith, I start with the Lord, the rest of my day seems to be much more productive. And then obviously we try to bring in our families. We do a lot of activities, a lot of functions that involve our wives and our kids, and we try to make the field house one of those field houses that they feel welcome. And we have kids running around. We have, you know, a candy closet and a snack closet, and they come in and they can make our coach's office their own as long as they clean it up when they're done. That's a big one, but we do. So it starts with faith. We try to incorporate our family, and then we have a very healthy staff, if you will. We've got a staff that believes in exercising and working out, and I believe in it. I believe I'm a better coach when I'm exercising, when I'm lifting weights or working out or whatever it is that they do. We've got some, again, I keep referring to our strength and conditioning coach, but he really holds the rest of us accountable, if you will. And we've got several coaches on our staff that's part of their life. In the weight room, lifting and exercising is part of their life, and it's healthy. We want to keep it in balance. We don't want to do more weightlifting during the season than watching film and things like that. But we really try to have that plan, and we really try to carve out the time for each of those things that are very important during a very busy football season. And so it can be done. I'm not perfect at it, and I'm always looking for ways to get better at it. But I do believe that our culture that we've created and the plan that we have in place allows for all of those important things to take place. And when those things are done effectively, we're better coaches. We have a lot more fun together. We're not as stressed. We're a little bit more relaxed. And typically things around the office are much healthier when all of those things are being done.
You point something out that I think is very important there, that culture also needs to include family. It needs to include health. You know, it can't be just the players' culture. You have to create and include the coaches in that as well. And I think you've done a good job in explaining how you do that.
Absolutely. I mean, you're right. It starts with us, or at least it should. And we're going to be more effective, and we're going to have a much more healthier perspective with our players if we're building our faith, we're spending time with our family, and we're taking care of our bodies. And so, again, it's that level of excellence. We want to be excellent. We don't want to just be good. We want to be excellent at everything that we do. And we're still going to make mistakes. We're still going to fall. We're still going to stumble. We're going to make bonehead decisions, and you know, just like any other staff. But the level of expectation to be excellent in all things is definitely a part of our culture at Shiloh Christian.
Coach, we're going to get into our last set of questions here, our two-minute drill. Just some quick, fun questions. So, schematically, what do you think is the toughest defense to face?
The defense that has the biggest, fastest, and strongest players.
Definitely.
No, that's the truth, and we all know that. I've seen defenses that we thought we could take advantage of schematically, but they had guys that were faster than us and we couldn't. And then I've seen defenses that looked, you know, the personnel looked excellent, but the scheme wasn't very good. And so I think the toughest defense, though, doesn't have anything to do with the scheme. I think it has everything to do with those coaches and how they get their players to play fast and play physical and just not be denied. To me, that's the toughest defense, where the players are giving everything they've got. They may get blocked for a second, but they're going to fall off of that block and they're going to find a way to make a tackle. They may not be hip to hip with that receiver, but they're going to find a way to redirect and make a play on the ball. And you know, so I think a defense that gives excellent effort is probably the toughest defense that I would not want to face.
What's your favorite goal line play?
Favorite goal line play is a motion sprint out snag concept, which gives our QB three options to throw and also an option to run.
Turf or grass?
Turf. I don't particularly like mowing, watering, and striping. I would love it if someone else did that. Then grass would definitely get my vote. But since I don't have someone like that, turf.
What's your favorite backfield set?
I love the diamond. I love going three back. It gives us a lot of options, and play action off of it's great. You get single coverage most of the time on those two receivers on the outside.
Day game or night game?
Night.
If you had to run your offense from one formation, what would it be?
20 personnel, 2x1.
What's your favorite quote?
So Billy Graham quote, a football coach will impact more lives in 1 year than the average person will impact in a lifetime.
That's a great quote. Coach, should the kickoff be eliminated?
No. Adjusted, maybe, but not eliminated. I think there's things that we could do to, again, go back to the teaching and maybe some of the rules, but I think that is a staple of the game of football. And if there's any way possible for us to keep it and eliminate injury, I would like to keep it. If there's not, then, you know, maybe I should change my view on that.
If you could pick one coach from the past to learn from, either retired or no longer with us, who would it be?
Tom Landry. And if you want to know why, it's from what I know of him. He was a great man of faith. He was a great man of perseverance. It took him many, many years before he won a championship. And he was also a man that knew how to coach some football. And my first child, my daughter, is actually named after him. We named her Landry.
How about one from the present?
Got to be Nick Saban. I love his structure, his organization, his walk through, step through the process, and I think we would all learn a lot from a guy like Coach Saban.
Any children named after him?
Don't have any children named after him, but Keith, we do have one on the way. Which
there you go. There's a chance.
A shock. Yeah. So you never know.
How many teams should be included in the FBS playoff?
Four.
All things being equal. And you were a QB, so we'll see how you answer this one. All things being equal, run it or throw it?
Run it. If everything's equal, it's so much easier just to hand it off.
Yeah. Coach, let's finish up and give our listeners maybe something that could help them find the winning edge. What's the one thing you would point to as giving your team, your program, the winning edge?
Preparation. And in my opinion, that word encompasses so much. When you talk about when we begin a new year in January, we're starting in the weight room and we're preparing their bodies physically and emotionally and competitively, their conditioning. I mean, so really the word preparation is an inside out type philosophy. We want their bodies and their minds and their competitive spirit to be prepared the right way. And then we advance to scheme and fundamentals, and we want them to be prepared to execute the fundamentals on the field the right way and execute the scheme. And so we take them through position training and position school. We take them through spring football practice where we're on the field teaching all of those things. We start in the summer with our summer program and, again, teaching them and preparing their bodies to be in great shape and great condition. We do 7-on-7s all summer long and team camps all summer long that really we're preparing. And then in season, when the season rolls around, it's that week-to-week preparation where we want to focus on ourselves, but we also want to be prepared for that opponent. And so I think the word preparation and just every avenue in which we as coaches can equip our players to be mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually ready to go out and play football for four quarters is the key to our success.
Coach, how can our listeners connect with you?
My Twitter handle is Jeff Conaway SC, and we also have one with our football team at Shiloh Saints FB, and then my email is jeffc@shilohsaints.org.
Coach, really appreciate you taking the time. This was a great chance to talk ball with you. I learned a lot. I'm sure our listeners are going to gain a lot from this as well. Again, thank you.
Keith, I appreciate it. It's been enjoyable. And again, thank you for what you're doing. I'm going to learn a lot from what you're doing. And I'm going to be able to bless my coaches and my players because you're working so hard to put resources in our area in order to get better. And so I appreciate you very much.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.